video about stress and you went, boy, that sounds like me. I felt like that before. And realized when you have it summarized for you, a stressful lifestyle maybe isn't the best for me. And then you find out your telomeres. The reason I had her do the video, I have no idea what she's talking about. But it shortens them, and shortening them make your life shorter. And that doesn't sound fun to me whatsoever. So in this hurry culture that we live in American society today, that's option one. Option one is, can we, and here, by the way, I'm going to say it this way, so it's real kind of Bible sounding, and I'll explain why in a minute. You can either be yoked up with hurry, stress, anxiety, shortness of life, less sleep, less quality of sleep, or here's your other option. And by the way, I'll go ahead and give it, I know this is a pop quiz on you, but you're going to pick option two, okay? I just promise you that. And here's why. Option two is a God way. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, that says this, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take up my yoke. Hey, there's that real Bible thing I just said about taking a yoking yourself with a lifestyle. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, for those of you who grew up in church, you kind of understand that Bible language that I just read, and you have an understanding of what I was just trying to say to you. For those who haven't grown up the Bible, I want to read a different version, because I'll be honest, it's just easier to understand. It's the Message version. It's called the Message version. And see if this isn't the lifestyle that you would enjoy having in your life. Ready for this? Are you tired? Are you worn out? Should we do a raise of hands real quick? Would that make it? Are you tired, or are you too tired to actually do that? Like, I am, but like, so much work. So are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you even burnt out on religion? And Jesus is saying this, great, come to me, because I don't want to wear you out. I don't want to make you tired. And by the way, I'm not religion. I'm your faith. I'm your creator. I want to invite you into something totally different. Why don't you get away with me and you'll receive life. I love that line there, and I promise you we are going to wear that sentence out tonight. I haven't gone to sleep yet. Like, we're going to wear this out. I will show you how to take real rest and walk with me and work with me and watch me do it. Here's how I would rewrite that. Watch me show off. Watch me do what a billion-dollar industry can't teach you how to do as far as relaxing and chilling and having a good time. Watch me show off. And by the way, and this is just one of these sentences that are beautiful, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting to you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So this is our big thought. This is the big passages that we're working off for the last 2 weeks, this week's, and three more to come. So if you haven't been with us, here is the big picture. Ready for this? The hurry culture is incompatible with the Jesus culture. The hurry culture of going and doing and striving and achieving. Not that those are bad things, but here's what a Jesus culture looks like. Love, joy, and peace. Can you love someone in a hurry? Like if you got a baby girl like mine, you got a daughter, and she comes up and goes, Daddy, do I look pretty? Which one's more powerful? Oh my gosh, princess, you're the prettiest girl in the world. And I know there's going to be other people to tell you that, but daddy means it the most. And there's other daddies telling their little girls this, but they're wrong. You are the cutest thing in the world, right? Like that takes a little bit of time. And what about this? Yeah, girl, cute pigtails. Like, which one actually speaks love? The one that you take time to do it. That she doesn't feel like you're in a rush to tell her how much you love her. Or your boys, when they come down this morning. I had one of my boys come down, and I was on the couch, and just I have a whole Sunday morning routine that I'm always doing. And he decided not even to ask permission. He was so rude. He just climbed right up in my lap. And I had one of two things to do, give him a morning hug and say, Daddy has to work, or put down some papers and lay there for 10, 12, I have no idea how long it was. And I know it was long enough to where I got sleepy again, I'll be honest with you. Because you had this warm little body, and I don't know how your kids are. My kids are like, they refuse to wear clothes inside the house. You'd think it's just nothing but an underwear magazine running around my house all the time. That was too much information. I went too far on that one. So, and Cammy leads the way. So, she ain't here, so I can say what I want. There's no way any of you are going to text her. So, There's joy. The other culture that we want, that Jesus provides, is one of joy. How many are, can I just ask you, how many are really looking forward to Thanksgiving right now, knowing you have all your family coming over? How many are looking forward to going, one person raised their hand and I saw it, but like, how many are really looking forward to going back to work tomorrow? Because you just can't wait to be with those coworkers. How many? But here's the thing, there's a difference between joy and happiness, and we'll talk more about that next week. But when it comes to just joy in your life, the Jesus culture actually doesn't want you just to be happy with what's happening around you, but he wants to have this internal thing inside of you that even when the world is going to hell in a handbasket, there's something inside of you that can still smile. Can you do that in a hurry? Can you find that in that fast-paced life? He wants you to have peace. You know, the scripture actually says there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Do you know one of the nicknames that Jesus has is the Prince of? I knew you. There's some Bible thumpers out there. I love you for that right now. That's one of his nicknames, is the Prince of Peace. So you have one of two options. The video we showed regarding what stress does to the human body, how it's destructive, not constructive, how it'll tear you down and wear you out. Or you have option two. Love, joy, and peace. And I will tell you now, the hurry culture is incompatible with the Jesus culture. So today, you're going to actually have to make a decision. But first, here's what I'd like to do. I never have my phone up here with me, and the reason why is, one, I don't want stuff in my pockets, but also, number two, I'm pretty sure there's some of you out there that if you knew I had my phone, you'd text me nonstop just to annoy me. So I never do it. But today, I have something I want to do. I have my watch out. I'm going to do something. And this is either going to be one of those things, and I'm just got to be honest with you. This is going to be one of these exercises that we do that right after we do it, we all go, wow, that was really cool. Or the other option is, we're going to get done with it and you're going to go, that was really, really dumb. Like, there is no in between, and unfortunately, there's no way for me to practice it outside of with you. Because unlike like comedians, I can't go to some off-Broadway nightclubs to work my stuff out on a Saturday night to see if it works. You guys get it firsthand. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone to do this. If you're holding hands with someone, arms over chairs, I'm going to ask you to put your hands just right in your lap and just become very centered right now, focused on you and you alone. Now, I'm going to do something crazy. I'm not going to tell you the length of time that we are going to do this. I'm just going to ask you to do one thing for an undetermined amount of time, solely focused on you and you alone, and I'm even going to ask you to close your eyes. I know that's weird. No one's going to go through your purse or handbag, I promise. Just stay right there. So I'm going to ask everyone, if you're watching us online, first, hey, online, great to have you this morning. Glad that you're there. I got all fired up about a video and reading the scripture. So glad you're with us. The good news is, if you are online and you want our sermon notes, download the app. If you're in here now, download the app. And if you're online, check in. Let us know you're out there. So here's what we're going to do. Right now, I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. I'm going to ask you to focus on, let's do this, the Bible. That's it. It could be a picture of a Bible. It could be your own Bible. It could be a specific scripture out of the Bible. But I'm going to, in just a second, I'm going to stop talking, and for an undetermined amount of time, I'm going to ask you to focus on the Bible and the Bible only. And you guys, I promise you this. This is going to be very, very cool or very, very dumb. Regardless, we're done in a few minutes. So here we go. Ready for this? In 3, 2, 1, focus on the Bible and the Bible only. Go. Okay, stop. How many, and if, I don't think we want to raise hands, but if you're really feeling courageous, how many were able to honestly say you were able to focus on that first thought for the entire 9 seconds without your mind wandering? Okay, now who would be kind of, that's kind of half hands, I didn't really say. How many would say, no, my mind wandered just a little bit? Okay, we're about 50-50. And here's what's exciting about that. Before, I think this worked. I don't know if it did. I'll tell you, here it is. So before 2000, the digital age, the average human had an attention span of 12 seconds. But after the digital age started, we dropped from 12 seconds to 8 seconds. That's how long our attention span is. And the reason I went to 9 seconds is a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. If you were able to focus for 9 seconds, you beat out the goldfish. This is huge. Okay, so now let's be really honest. If I say we're going to have 25 minutes of worship and I'm going to preach to you for 45 minutes, that means every 7 seconds I better be doing something different to re-get your, I was about to do the funky chicken, I promise you, instead, jazz hands. So, like, every 8 seconds we need something to grab our attention, so why is the average YouTube commercial 15? Because that's how long you'll pay attention. Until you get back to the video you want. Until you get back to your game because you refuse to pay for the full one. You'll just play the ads and mute it between them. And so here's where, how can we learn to expand our ability to focus on what's important? And so here's where we're going to go. I think if you've been with us, I think we've proven the point that we need to stop the hurry culture. If you missed those last couple conversations, again, download our app, go on YouTube, go on the website, and you can watch the last 2 weeks where we kind of proved what this hurry culture is all about and how there's an alternative in the Jesus culture. So now for this week and the next 4 weeks, I'm going to talk on the four key things, the four lifestyles that you should practice, take on, own. And here's what they are. The first one is we're going to talk about silence and solitude. Then we're going to talk about Sabbath. Then we're going to talk about simplicity. And then we're going to talk about slowing down. We're going to downshift this car of life that you're speeding in to start enjoying the life that you're absolutely living. So today is the simplest sermon. And by the way, we could be done in 2 minutes from now. That's how simple today's sermon is. It's so easy. I'm going to tell you about some Jesus stuff, then I'm going to tell you about some practical stuff. But here's, ready for this? If you don't have the ability to pay, in the next 7 seconds, I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you. And here's what it is. If it's good enough for Jesus to do no matter what, it should be good enough for us to do no matter what. That is today's sermon. And so I'm going to spend the first couple minutes just proving to you that Jesus did it. And then I have one simple question for you. Do you think it's something you should consider doing? That's it. And then at the end, I'm going to give you a couple things that you can actually do, but ultimately, you can skip the whole ending because to really drive it home, you want to get connected with the NAB group this week. They have a workbook that they're going to be going through, and you are going to practically practice how to get into silence and how to get into solitude. And so here's the first part of it. I want to prove to you that this was good enough for Jesus when it comes to silence and solitude. Matthew chapter 3, if you're not familiar with the Bible and the whole Jesus thing, here's kind of it in a nutshell. We believe that God the Father Almighty, who's the maker of heaven and earth, gave us his one and only son. And you celebrate this every Christmas, even if you know it or not. And his son Jesus came to earth. And for 30 years, we've really heard nothing about who Jesus is. Then all of a sudden in this book called Matthew, and if you actually have a physical Bible, there's a single piece of paper, and there's an Old Testament and New Testament. The New Testament that tells us about Jesus, he shows up, and in this big grand spectacle, there's a guy named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist has been preaching and preparing a way, and he is dressed sharp. It's camel skin, and his meal selection is locusts and honey. I mean, kind of guy you want to hang out with. And he's been preaching and preaching, and the Pharisees hate him. The religious organizations of that time can't stand him. John the Baptist is saying, hey, prepare the way, prepare the way. There's coming someone who I'm baptizing in water. He's about to come and baptize with fire. Like, you're going to, there he is. Like, all of a sudden, John the Baptist is out preaching, and here comes Jesus. And Jesus comes down, and this is the beginning of his ministry, and Jesus gets baptized, and the heavens open up, and God, like, yells down. He's like, yo, that's my son. Like, it was a really cool thing that Jesus said. Maybe not verbatim, but Jesus, God started bragging on his kid. And then Jesus, he has thousands of people watching him. He's the biggest news you could possibly imagine. And the very first thing that Jesus does in Matthew 3, he leaves to a place of solitude. Now, the Greek word there that is used, it can mean desert place, alone place, a place of solitude. And in this one, Jesus literally went alone into the desert to have a conversation with someone. And who was this someone? You know his name. Satan. Like, this is where Jesus, the beginning of his ministry, to start off, Jesus slips out of the limelight to go into a place of solitude, to have the biggest spiritual warfare of his time, one-on-one, mano a mano, to be tempted by Satan. And so often, here's what I would say, we would think as a lone place, a place of solitude, a place of wilderness, is a place of weakness. I would challenge that. The greatest strength that you will ever find is getting alone, being by yourself. And I know this is going to sound like a new agey word. This is going to like freak you out. You think I'm part hippie. To become centered. To find out who you are and the power that you have, not in you, but through you because of Christ Jesus. So Jesus went to this place. And so the beginning of his ministry, he slips out. And Jesus was the height of his spiritual power when he was in his alone place. See, I think we have a mentality that if you want to have the height of your spirituality, you need to become a pastor and be on a stage. You need to write a book, a podcast. You need to travel around and more people have to hear you. But I would say this. I think Jesus modeled for us right here at the beginning. You want the greatest spiritual power that you ever have? Get alone. Go into a quiet place. Go into a place of solitude. And then, ready for this? So there's Matthew, very beginning of his ministry. What is the first thing Jesus modeled to us? He gets away. But then, if you go into the book of Mark, in chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus, he got baptized, he went into the wilderness, he came back into town. So now, ministry's ready to start. Jesus is now back into town. He goes to Copernicus. He goes into the synagogue and he starts teaching and everyone's like wowed at what he can do. And he's talking. And by the way, when they preached back in those days, this isn't a 30-minute conversation. This is an opening of a scroll, all day long dialogue. They didn't have YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, other things to go watch. Like this was the news of the day. So Jesus gets done from this exhausted thing. And what does he do? He goes over to Peter's house to get some food. While he's at Peter's house, what happens? Peter's mother-in-law is dead. And Jesus went up to Peter and go, do you like her? Like, no, that's... I was just seeing if you were paying attention. Jesus goes up. It was wrong, right? That was a bad joke. I'll admit that one. But you know, sometimes I do it just for my entertainment, and you got to be okay with that. And so I love my mother-in-law, so that's fine, unless she's the one that just booed. And so, like... He goes, he actually heals Peter's mother-in-law. She gets healed. So he comes out of the wilderness. He preaches all day long. He heals the mother-in-law. He tries to go somewhere else. A demon-possessed man ends up interacting with him. Jesus heals the demon-possessed man. And at this point, if I was Jesus, I'm looking at the greatest bed that I could find to fall into bed exhausted. And guess what Jesus does? Goes to his alone place. He's absolutely exhausted. He was just in an alone place. He had one day of ministry, and guess what he did? He went back to his alone place. Guys, I started off by saying this is the simplest sermon you're ever going to hear, and I'm going to say it to you again. If it was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for me. And so I'm just going to, by the way, my next example that I tell you, I'll give you a hint what it sounds like. Jesus did ministry, then he went to his alone place. Like, it's throughout the scriptures. And so Jesus, early the next morning, here in Mark, the disciples are trying to find Jesus, but he's not in the bed he's supposed to be. Guess where Jesus is? He's in his silent place. He's in his alone place. He's in that place trying to reconnect with God. And his disciples finally found him. And here's kind of in modern language what they said. Jesus, you are blowing up. Hashtag. I appreciate you guys laughing at my insecurity. So hashtag Jesus. It's trending worldwide. Just so you know, TMZ just called us. They want an exclusive with you. Like, we have to get to you. We have someone working on a website, someone working out on a mailing list, and your partners. We can start making some money, generating off all these miracles of Jesus. We have to do this. And here's what Jesus said. He said, Mark 1, verse 38, he goes, let us go somewhere else to a nearby village. So I can preach there also. This is why I have come. Because if I would have stayed in this place, hearing all the accolades that are happening, I could lose focus on what's the most important, and I could end up staying here. But luckily, when I got done with this show, when I got done with this ministry, when I got done with this limelight, I went back to the place that matters the most, and that's my relationship with God. And in this place in relationship with God, he said this, I'm done in this spot. I need you to go somewhere else. So Jesus was able to stay focused because he was able to pull away and get refocused. And it makes no sense. Ministry's blowing up. If you're a businessman or woman right now, and you found this niche in the market, and maybe it's a marketing scheme, maybe it's a marketing strategy. Maybe it's because you opened up a new office in a new location somewhere, and it started blowing up. At any point, would you go, it's time to move and do something different? Or would you ride that horse till it ran out? You would hit that cash cow till it stopped paying off. But with Jesus, it wasn't about that. It was about doing the will of the Father, and he did it because of his silent place, his place of solitude. And so then when you go to the book of Luke, I love this. Luke records Jesus going into the quiet place no less than 9 times. And actually in Luke 5:15-16, it says, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him, and he healed all of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Man, do you know you could just stay in the middle of that limelight and let people make over you? Get you what you want, when you want it, how you want it? Man, you could soak up all that pray. Jesus wasn't here for any of that. And where Jesus could get worn out from the multitudes, he was refilled by the one. And that was his God. But when we get over busy and life is hectic and people are vying for our time, the quiet place is the first thing to go rather than our first go-to. All right. That was so good. I'm going to read that again because I want you to hear that. How many of you had something in your life that felt good that you loved doing and life got busy and you ended up abandoning the one thing that gave you life? This vacuum happens in our world where we get sucked to the things that we feel like we need to do versus intentionally going to the things that we should do. And what ends up happening is in our life, the ones that we love the most, we end up abusing the most because we think they can take it. The work that we don't love, we'll give most of our time to that. The bills, the stress, the different clubs that our kids are a part of, we give all that time. And when we come home to the people that matter to us the most, we don't even have time for them anymore, let alone the energy to give to them. So why is it? Nah, I'll let your influence grow. Clap again. I bet they start with you. When we get over busy and life is hectic and people are vying for our time, can anyone say yes, that's me? The quiet place is the first thing to go rather than our first go-to. So, it's decision-making time. For you, and by the way, if your answer is no, don't even bother listening to me for the rest of the time because I'm just going to say it all again. Should you consider in your life, especially in this COVID, everything's changing, your schedule is up in the air, should you consider a time in your life where you should reset your schedule so you can find how to become centered? So you can find how to become silent? So you can find a way to connect with God? And by the way, you know what? I'm not ready to ask you that question yet. And here's why. You do this when you take a vacation. How many of you, think about this, you work all year long in order to get that what? 5 days, 6 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and if you're 3 weeks, you're just bragging at this point. And you do what? Especially the couple days before the vacation, you work like a dog. Can you accomplish anything more in your life than 2 days before vacation? It's freakish the amount of stuff that you can get through, and all the rest of the distractions don't bother you. You're singly focused, and what is that? I am getting away from this life that I'm living to go live the ideal life to do what? Unwind. And here's what people end up asking you. When you got on vacation, how long did it take you to actually get on vacation? Why? Because you get there, and you're still thinking, did I do this? Are they going to call me for that? Is that contract going to go through? And you start thinking, you're worried, you're stressed, and you're tight, and you're, and eventually you realize, hey, life goes on with my feet in the beach. And then you get towards the end of the vacation, and you say something like this, Oh, I'm not ready to go home. Unless you're just sitting on a beach, because that is so boring. Like, it's like, what do you want to go do? Let's fly somewhere and do nothing. No, it's not vacation. That's hell on earth. Okay, we got to, like, I know, boo, I appreciate that. Thank you for not clapping on that one. So, but we live our life, and what do? When we get away for a little bit, and we want unwind, and we get away from what? We get away from the bills. We get away from the TV. We get away from the obligations. We disconnect everything to have a place of solitude. All of a sudden, you feel what? Refreshed. So I'm about to ask you again this decision that you need to make today. How about you have a vacation day, a vacation hour, a vacation 10 minutes every single day? All of a sudden, that sounds like a little different proposition, doesn't it? What if the feeling that you get when you can get away, maybe with your family, maybe just with your spouse, your loved one, everything, maybe by yourself, and you're the type of person that needs to get on a motorcycle and just drive for 2 hours, and it's called air therapy or seat therapy, and you just get out there, and all of a sudden you get free. What if every day you knew you had a vacation moment that you were able to get away? See, right now, there's some of you out there wondering how long I'm not going to talk. Because after all, you came here to hear a sermon. Let's get it done so we can get out. But you guys planned on being here for what? Hour and 15, hour and 25 minutes? So why would you get frustrated if I thought the best thing for us right now is just to look at each other for 10 minutes? I won't make you look at me like that. That's awkward. I'll admit, I won't. Right? Because we have these expectations built up inside. And after all, Pastor, if you're not entertaining us, if you're not connecting with us, if you're not doing things to get our attentions every 7, 8, 12 seconds, I promise that's going to be the last time I did that. Because I can't promise that. You're right. I can't make that promise. But what if every day in this hurried life that you have, you started looking forward to that moment in the morning, moment over your lunch break, moment at home where you just can do this. It's not about the next alert. It's not about the next show. Not about the next dollar, the next contract, the next obligation. But I can just learn how to be. After all, we are human beings. And we have to flip the script on human doing. So, I have a question. Ask it earlier. I'll ask it again. How many of you need to consider the Jesus model of solitude and silence? Here's just another follow-up question. How many think, man, if this is good enough for Jesus, it may be good enough for me? How many would say, like, at some point when Jesus said to his disciples, you need to stop and feed yourself. We have 5,000 people. We have all these things. Listen, we got to just stop because there's more to do. But just stop and take care of yourself. How many would think of it like this? If Jesus couldn't take care of himself, how could he take care of anyone else? So, if you can't take care of yourself, how can you take care of anyone else? So, that's the question that's out there. So, how do we get to silence and solitude? First is, what is silence? Silence is two things, external and internal. These are a couple thoughts that I'm going to throw your way, but I'll tell you now, the only way for me to help you practice, not sure that's a word. That was exercise and practice that just kind of like ran together, and they both came to the finish line, and like, I want to be first, and it was a tie. So the only way to practice what I'm about to tell you when it comes to the disciplines of silence and solitude that I can help serve you is by you getting connected with the nav group this week. For those online, we have online nav groups. You're able to connect in remotely. You don't actually have to show up there physically. And they have a workbook where you are going to read stuff and then stop and practice. You're going to read things and consider it and talk about it. And we're going to go into a lot more detail. And first thing we're going to look at is, how do you silence external things? This is very simple. Ready for this? No noise, no music, no TV. You want your ears humming in the den of silence. Everybody know what that means? Like, it's so quiet, your ears start humming. By the way, our forefathers, I think this like naturally was for them, because if you think about the farmers from 100 years ago, they didn't have the noise, they didn't have the TV, and actually the only music you could ever hear live was live when you would maybe go to church or to a bar. Like when you were out by yourself in the middle of the farm field, the only thing you heard was God's creation talking to you. And so your quiet place may be at a park. It could be, I know one pastor, an incredible man of God, when he really needs to pray, he gets in his car and drives. Because he can put everything on silence, doesn't have the radio on, and he can just focus on what he needs to. What is this place where you can find external silence? John Climaeus, 16th century monk who spent most of his time praying on Mount Sinai, said this: "The friend of silence draws me near to God." But is there a chance in the world that we're living in now, there's so much external noise, it's actually drowning out our internal screams? So even if you get away from the external noise, how do you get away from the internal noise? How many know what I'm talking about when it comes to the internal noise? If right now I ask you to pause for 8 seconds and think about one single thing, the thing of your choosing, how many of you have that internal noise to go, hey, you want to talk? Right? You remember Larry? You remember what he did to you at the office the other day? Let's talk about him. You remember your mother-in-law that he was talking about earlier? Yeah, you wouldn't have told Jesus to heal her. Like how many have that internal voice of the fights and the days gone by, or you know you're about to go into a situation and you're busy preparing your argument before you ever get there? Or you have that internal noise to remember? How many have those little things in your life? Something weird happens and you remember a time in your past where you just looked dumb, said something dumb, was dumb, and you just go, oh man, I'll never live that down. And no one else remembers it but you and that little voice inside your head. And every time you need a little bit of silence and solitude, it's just there to go, hey, you want to remember me again? I don't know why all your voices sound like the one in my head. Apparently it was a long-time smoker, a little bit depressed. Like, yeah, that's what it sounds like. The clutter in our minds is like a mental hoarder landlocked in his or her bedroom of a self-constructed prison. The clutters in our mind is like a mental hoarder. All these bad memories, all these good memories, all these regrets, all these shames, all these doubts, all these guilts. Just hoarding it up for the day that you stop talking and the external noise to quit, for them to open up the drawers and go, remember this one? It's a self-constructed prison that we have. Solitude is pretty straightforward. It's when you are alone with God and your own soul. May I just say, and this is something that if you would like to discuss, I'm open to it. I'm not saying thus saith the God. I'm not saying that it's in the Bible. I believe there's some meditations out there that actually says to stop thinking. And personally, those aren't the ones that I lean towards in the sense of how to, and I'll use the word, by the way, meditate. And yes, I do meditate, and that may sound weird to you, but here's another way. It's a way to silence things. But I don't think I can go without having thoughts. I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. But when my conversation is between me and my Savior, I've now found isolation, and I've found solitude, I don't want to use that word, and I'll tell you why in a second, but when I find solitude, now I can have this one-on-one conversation on how to do it. So solitude is when you're just alone with God in your own soul. Here's what solitude is not. Solitude is not separation. And a lot of times we want to run from our things, we want to run from our stuff, and we just want to get away. And what I'm trying to explain to you in silence and solitude, it's not silence and isolation. Solitude is engagement. I'm coming to this solitude place in order for me to engage in a relationship with the Savior and the lover of my soul. Isolation is escape. Solitude is safety. Isolation is danger. Solitude is how you open yourself up to God. Isolation is how you paint a target on your back for the tempter. Because, I mean, if you think about it in your own world, how many times have you tried to find a place of escape? And when you found that place of escape, there usually was a mechanism there that would do you more harm than good. But when you run to a place of solitude in order to have a conversation with your Savior, while you're in that place, all of a sudden he starts revealing things. And here's the great thing about Jesus. It's crazy. Jesus has the ability to so hurt you, like poke you in the eye to point out an issue that you have. And somehow when he does it, you go, oh, that's right, you love me. But when the tempter points out those things, you know what you want to do? You want to numb. You want to lie. You want to deny. I heard someone say this the other day. Denial. Don't even know that I'm lying. Now, one of you out there said that's an N, not a K, but it works so well, we just got to go with it. The rest of you are smelling denial in my head and trying to remember the phrase, don't even know, K, that I'm lying. There you are. You're welcome. I actually had to write it on my calendar. Leave me alone. So, like, we get to this place of solitude or isolation. Isolation should have some indicators. If there's only death and destruction happening, you're in a place of isolation, not in a place of solitude. Solitude, you know when you're there because when you set aside time to feed and water and nourish your soul, isolation is when you crave what your soul has neglected. Richard Foster wrote in the Celebration of Disciplines, loneliness is the inner emptiness. Solitude is inner fulfillment. Let me say it this way. When you go on a good vacation, you get done and you feel very fulfilled. You feel happy. You feel joy. You feel refreshed. How many have ever been on a bad vacation? How many ever went to vacation, you flew all the way down to Florida, and you thought the vacation was starting off great because instead of the minivan, they said, we don't have any minivans. Are you willing to do a Cadillac Escalade? And my wife goes, yeah. And I go, don't oversell it because they haven't told us if there's an upcharge. And I have to be honest, when they said a Cadillac Escalade SUV, I honestly didn't even know what that was because I'm not a big car guy. And then I saw it come around the corner, and it came around in slow motion. I mean, it was a beat and everything to it. That's it? I will take that. Man, we load the kids up, and this car was so cool. If it drifted to the white line, it fixed itself. So I thought, how long can we do this? I mean, it's hands-free. I promise you. I'm driving down the road, and the car says, please return your hands to the steering wheel. I'm like, okay. Every 5 minutes, I got to touch it once, and it drives out of this fantastic. And then we pull up to this condo that we were supposed to be at, and the entire parking lot is so flooded that even in this SUV, I can't get my wife to the front door. So we're running the kids through the dirty grass into the wet everything to get them into the house just to finally get the bags put in there. And when we walk upstairs, we found out that the roof was leaking and the entire floor outside the master bedroom. And it went from this is going to be a great fulfilling vacation to why do I feel depleted? Because one points to fulfillment, one points isolation and emptiness. So how can you get to the place in your life? And again, I'm going to tell you, get connected with our nav groups. You got it. The next 4 weeks, wonderful hands-on practical exercises to do this. And it is to do what? To be silent. Ready for this? 15 seconds, nothing. Where you just breathe in and breathe out. You can hear the hums of the fans. You can actually feel your breath and hear your heartbeat. And imagine in that moment saying, God, I miss you. You know, the relationship with God is like every other relationship within your life. It takes time to develop it. And in our hurry culture, it tries to squeeze out our spiritual time where you don't have time. But in a non-hurry, Jesus culture mentality, we find the time to get with our Savior. And you know what he's going to tell you? If you don't get away and hear this for yourself, I'm going to say it to you. God is going to tell you the same thing he told Jesus. There will always be more problems. There will always be sick among you. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. There will always be the hungry among you. And if you live your life trying to do everything for everybody, you are going to be worn out, stressed out, worried, sick, to the point where you won't take care of yourself. You'll stop being able to take care of everybody else, and you yourself will die young because of the stress. And what God wants to do when he brings you alone to these silent places and these quiet takes is he wants to start unburdening you from the stresses that this world tries to put on you and remind you his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Get away from me so I can show you what love, joy, and peace are all about. Because parents, you're not going to be able to solve every one of your kids' problems. Take it to God so he can start taking it off of you. Businessmen and women, you're going to work with those employees and you're going to pour into those employees, and sometimes you're not going to be able to advance them at the next level, and you're going to feel like you disappointed them. You feel like you should have done more, and at some point you got to take it back to God and let him unburden. You know why? Because you're not going to get every contract. You're not going to sell it right every single time. Those of you in the medical field, you have to know this. You're not going to get every diagnosis right. You're going to miss something here or there. And if you start carrying the weight of someone's imperfection, if you start carrying the weight of someone's death, if you start carrying this weight with you, you will get to the point where you're so burdened, you're so heavy, you're going to have the ability to move out, inability to move out from what God's calling you to do. You need to go to those quiet places so that he can take it off of you. Yeah. Teachers, if you're here right now, hear my words. Give. Give to those kids. But you can't be everything to those kids. And you hear about the stories. You know the ones that are coming into your classrooms, that their household is in no good condition, the brokenness in that family, and you want to give, and you go home, and so you spend extra time grading those papers, and you think, where can I go? The dollar store, and how can I get more pencils, more erasers, more something in order to give to the kids, and you're not making enough money anyway, and the school doesn't have money to give you more, and you start carrying all these burdens of how to do it. At some point, you need to go to God and say, you did not create me to carry the burdens of this world. Unburden me this day. What if Jesus is inviting you to this place of silence and solitude to heal you and connect with you? Yes, pastors, ministers, we can't be everything to everybody. It's okay for all of us to know this. No is a viable answer sometimes. And the greatest no's in your life will give you opportunity to the greatest yeses for you to ever. So this place of solitude, it comes down today to one simple question. If this was good enough for Jesus, should it be good enough for you? So here's the one way we can maybe look at it. Are you ready to have a daily vacation with God? To find that rest. To find what true love is. True peace. And true joy. I said it the first 2 weeks, and I'm going to continue to say it this week. There's no big close. There's no ending. This is a six-week conversation. Next week, we're going to jump to something called the Sabbath, which you may not know, which you may not be used to, but we're going to not only have moments of rest during the day, but we're going to encourage you and talk about in dialogue about what it looks like to one day a week. I know this is going to sound so weird. One day a week to enjoy everything that you've collected. One day to actually just be. So before I close, and I do want to pray for you. My heart is just, I hear this the way I'm trying to say it. My heart's burdened by all these different examples that I just gave. And I just want to pray for some of you today and provide an opportunity for you to find silence and solitude. But the first thing I need you to do is to understand the only way to have this is to have the person to run to. That person is Jesus Christ. I mentioned him earlier. I'm going to say it again. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, was God in heaven that stepped out of heaven to walk on earth. As he walked on earth, as human flesh as you are, every desire, every temptation, every struggle that you've ever gone through, he not only went through, he overcame. And he got to the point where everything was trying to kill him, but nothing could touch him. I know we want to say that the Romans killed Jesus, that the Jews killed Jesus, my sin killed Jesus. Nothing killed Jesus. Jesus freely gave his life for the Romans, for the Jews, for you. Because nothing was too powerful to overcome his life. So he laid it down in order for you to live. And you need to live because you are a sinner. I know that's a really blunt way to say it, but you know it, but you may not have the terms to it. Earlier when I said how many have that hoarding mindset that you remember the guilt, the shame, the evilness, the darkness that's inside of you. What is that? Maybe that's your conscience that's been so seared by an action, and it's seared because an eternal loving God hated the death and destruction that that sin did to you. Jesus came to wash it all away. Could you imagine a life where you didn't have to remember those times and those feelings come back up on you? Can you remember, can you dream of an afternoon where you can go home rather than guilt and shame, you feel love and peace? Jesus is the only way that provides that. No self-help that we're talking about today is going to do that. Jesus Christ. If I've made it sound like anything other than Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, it's Jesus Christ. And we will teach you ways to connect with him, but at the end of the day, it's Jesus Christ. So if you're here, if you're watching us online right now, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to him. And in order to do that, could I ask, I know I've had you guys raise hands, put hands down, close eyes. Some of you even jumped to the left and shook your hands a couple times. But could I just ask everyone, could you just close your eyes for the next 2-3 minutes for me? Because I want to ask anyone who's here right now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's no one else looking. It's just you and I talking. Scriptures say that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you're saved, one of the ways that we identify someone believing in their heart is to simply ask them to raise their hand. So if you're watching us online, there's going to be a tab that pops up. Someone in your chat room will just ask you the question. If you said that prayer for the first time like this, or if you're sitting here and you want to know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior with eyes closed and heads bowed, could I just ask you to simply raise your hand just so that I can see that you've made that decision today? And as hands are going up in this room and those that are clicking buttons online, I'm just going to ask everyone to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, today is the day that you brought me into this conversation for me to make this decision. And that is you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. And from this day forward, I choose to follow you. God, I thank you for every hand that went up. I thank you for every button that was clicked. I thank you for every prayer that said that for the first time. And we absolutely celebrate with that today. But before we close, God, I now pray for those people. When I talked about silence and solitude, God, there were those that felt like that is an unachievable goal. And I just pray over them right now, and I just say that it is achievable. I pray for those that just, your mind's racing. How can I make this happen? And you're trying to figure out how to make this happen into your current schedule. And I'm going to tell you this, that if you submit your way to God's ways, he'll make your current schedule submit to what your will is. I pray for those teachers, those nurses and doctors, business men and women, those employees, the moms and dads that heard all the different examples today, and you unhealthy and unrighteously carry the burdens of the world around you. I ask this in this moment of prayer, that God will give you a glimpse of what it physically feels like, emotionally feels like, and spiritually feels like to have those burdens lifted off. I pray that today's sermon, that today's conversation gives you hope into the future that you desire. And now I just ask for a longing to be birthed inside of you, to get away from what always has been what you could possibly have. God, I just thank you for the peace that you're providing in this place. And we'll let the people feel your love. May our hearts be filled with joy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can you do me one favor? Can you put your hands together and celebrate with anyone? If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we are so excited. We welcome you to the family of Christ. Here's what happens if you kind of, what do I do next? Well, we have a booth right back here called The Next Steps. They're here to help you take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe that's water baptism, gifts of the Spirit, whatever that might be. Stop by our Next Step booth, and they're going to help you get connected with not only church, but the spiritual walk that you've just come into. For those watching us on our online campus, we're so grateful for you to be with us this morning. Make sure to like, share, comment on anything that you've been watching today. But for now, I'm going to hand you over to Pastor Aaron in order for him to give you a couple of announcements. God bless. We'll see you next week.